Harihi Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryan Karavavahai Tejasvinavaditamastoma Vidavishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare
Okay, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chapter 4, The Confidential Reasons for Lord Chaitanya's Appearance. Page 100. Text 57. Now, to enjoy rasa, they have appeared in one body as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, I shall first delineate the position of Radha and Krishna. From that description, the glory of Lord Chaitanya will be known. Srimati Radhika is the transformation of Krishna's love. She is his internal energy called Ladini. That Ladini energy gives Krishna pleasure and nourishes his devotees. Srila Prabhupada. Srila Jiva Goswami has elaborately discussed the Ladini potency in his Priti Sandarbha. He says that the Vedas clearly state, quote, only devotional service can lead one to the personality of Godhead. Only devotional service can help a devotee meet the Supreme Person, Supreme Lord, face to face. The Supreme Personality of God is attracted by devotional service. And as such, the ultimate supremacy of Vedic knowledge rests in knowing the science of devotional service. Okay, so, from Vedic knowledge to know devotional service, then you actually know the Vedic knowledge. Otherwise, you know so many different things. It'd be like, let's say, someone can come into the kitchen and he can say, oh, which pot is from where it's made, what technique they do, you know, even what's the unique speciality of that, you know, and then where it comes from, how they transport it, and then how much it costs, and then, you know, what are the taxes, what are the considerations, and this and that, and some history of the company, and that, and what the father used to do before he started the company, and all this kind of things like that. And then you'll think he knows so much, and he can do that on everything in the kitchen, but he can't cook. So that's the whole point, is that when you know devotional service, then you know the Vedic literature. If you don't know Vedic devotional service, you don't actually know the Vedic literature. You may know the Vedic literature, but you don't know what it's for. And you can't use it for what it's for. You can use it for other things, like, you know, that frying pan will bang a nail into the wall to hang a picture. It will do it. But that's not actually what it's for. What is the particular attraction that makes the Supreme Lord enthusiastic to accept devotional service? And what is the nature of such service? The Vedic scriptures inform us that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth, is self-sufficient, and that Maya, nescience, can never influence him at all. Therefore, the potency that overcomes the Supreme must be purely spiritual. Such a potency cannot be anything of the material manifestation. The bliss enjoyed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot be of material composition, like the impersonalist conception of the bliss of Brahman. Right, so that's a material concept, because the bliss is the bliss of getting out of the material world, right? So, in the material concept, you have a problem. You remove the problem, you say you're happy. Right? You're hungry, you remove that problem, you're happy. You're tired, you remove that problem, you're happy. Right? Does that make sense? So if you remove all the material problems at once, then the happiness that comes from that, that's liberation. But we can understand it's still a material happiness. It's not a spiritual happiness. Does that make sense? Because they don't actually know what is spirit. They think they don't exist. So how can they actually understand? Is that what it says? Just because they've been working on it for, you know, over 1,000 years and can come up with good philosophies doesn't mean they're right.
Yes.
I mean, that's there because we're here. So it means there must be some element of impersonalism because we're ignoring the Supreme Person. So there'll always be some element of that. But that's what devotional service, by devotional service, you reawaken that relationship with the Supreme Lord. And that's what Prabhupada's saying. See the Lord face to face. Only devotional service can help a devotee meet the Supreme Lord face to face. Other things won't. Because, let us say, okay, you're trying to be a nice person. And we're saying if devotees were nice, then the community would go nicer, people outside would like us better, so therefore, you know, somehow or another, everything will get better. So, the difficulty comes up is that niceness is Krishna. It's his quality. It's him. Mm-hmm. It's his potency. So, how is that? How are we connecting that to him? Because he is also devotional service, and we're thinking that by this quality, now devotional service can function. But devotional service happens because of Krishna. Mm-hmm. Right? And so then the difficulty comes up is, It's not about devotional service. It's about morality. Because we're looking at it from that, from ethics or morality. We're not looking at it from devotional service. Otherwise, we'd be saying, by practice of devotional service, all good qualities will come. So the devotee should be aware and trying to use them, because Vaishnava etiquette means you deal properly with others. So, therefore, that's why people should be nice. Right? Because it's Krishna's direction. It's Krishna's, it's the etiquette. It's how it's practiced by the acharyas. Mm-hmm. Yes. Right? Then it has something to do with devotional service. Because the living entities are parts and parcels of Krishna. That's why we're nice to them. Otherwise, they say, oh, we have to be nice. Why? You know, everyone would just, what do you mean, why? Yeah, so explain it. Just like, you know, you have to go to work. Why? You know, because then you'll make money, you know, and why do you need money? Then you can buy things. Okay, why do you want to buy things? You know, then you can be happy. You know, so they can give answers to that. But if you say, why do we have to be nice? You know, you just get a blank. It's just that I want everyone to be nice to me, so that's why I'm saying everybody should be nice. Because they're only going to choose the quality that they're interested in. Right? Why not, you know, one of the qualities of Vaishnava is poetic. Everybody should be more poetic, you know. Everybody should read poetry, you know. Like that. You know, that's what they were saying back in the 50s, you know. The beats, you know, that's the beatniks, that was their thing, was poetry. You know? You know, why not that? You know, or humble. You know? Is that what I'm saying? So the thing is we pick the one that we're interested in. Which is fine. But you have to understand it's coming from Krishna. It has to be used for Krishna. And the only way it's going to be useful is in connection with devotional service. But if you think it makes devotional service, then one doesn't understand. It's a tool to be used for devotional service. Like, the pots don't make dinner. People make dinner. Pots help in making dinner. So only devotional service, that's what has to be there. And then the niceness just makes it work more smoothly. Does that make sense? So it has to be very, very clear on that. Such a potency cannot be anything of the material manifestation. So you're saying we have to be careful that we're not thinking that this devotion is going to be from there. Right? Mm-hmm. The bliss enjoyed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot be of material composition, like the impersonalist conception of the bliss of Brahman. Devotional service is reciprocation between two, and therefore cannot be located simply within oneself. Therefore, the bliss of self-realization, Brahmananda, cannot be equated with devotional service. Right, that you're out of a problem, then you can be okay, but it's still two. You had a problem. The problem goes away. Now that relationship between you and that situation, you feel better. Right? Does that make sense?
Feel peaceful.
Sorry?
We can feel peaceful.
Yes, but the point is it cannot be equated with devotional service. So that's the thing, this self-realization is Brahmananda, it's just yourself. When it's Krishna, with Krishna, that's devotional service. In other words, it's just yourself, it's impersonalism. It's with Krishna, now it takes on devotional service. Ladini is the personal manifestation of the blissfulness of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by which he enjoys pleasure. Because the pleasure potency is perpetually present in the Supreme Lord. Four P's. The theory of the impersonal, that the Lord appears in the material mode of goodness, cannot be accepted. The impersonalist conclusion is against the Vedic version that the Lord possesses a transcendental pleasure potency. When the pleasure potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is exhibited by His grace in the person of a devotee, that manifestation is called love of God. Love of God is an epithet for the pleasure potency of the Lord. Therefore, devotional service reciprocated between the Lord and His devotee is an exhibition of the transcendental pleasure potency of the Lord. Yes, so that's that means it's the personification, as Krishna said here. Srimati Radharani is the transformation of Krishna's love. Right? So that nature of Krishna, of love, then that in its transformation, that's Srimati Radharani. So that means then this love that is there for Krishna, that can only be experienced through Radharani. So then her expansions on the internal potency, you know, all the other things, then you have to see that in the context of coming in that line. But like you see as the impersonalists, they're not coming in that line, so therefore they the happiness they're talking about doesn't compare.
Yes. Right. But now here we add more and more people. We are only one, particularly Krishna, particularly Radharani. Is adding more and more people.
Yes, because we're only starting with ourselves, because that's all that we know. But once we get to know that there's more, then now you can add. Once we're comfortable with this personal concept, then we can add more.
Yes.
Okay, text 61. Lord Krishna's body is eternal, sat, full of knowledge, chit, and full of bliss, ananda. His one spiritual energy manifests three forms. Ladini is his aspect of bliss, Sandini of eternal existence, and Samvit of cognizance, which is also accepted as knowledge. So sometimes it's the cognizance can be called knowledge. Srila Prabhupada. In his thesis, Bhagavat Sandarbha 103, Srila Jiva Goswami explains the potencies of the Lord as follows. The transcendental potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by which He maintains His existence, is called Sandini. The transcendental potency by which He knows Himself and causes others to know Him is Samvit. The transcendental potency by which He possesses transcendental bliss and causes His devotees to have bliss is called Ladini. The total exhibition of these potencies is called Vishuddha Sattva. And this platform of spiritual variegatedness is displayed even in the material world when the Lord appears there. The pastimes and manifestations of the Lord in the material world are therefore not at all material. They belong to the pure transcendental state. In the mundane mode of goodness, there are tinges of passion and ignorance. Therefore, mundane goodness, being mixed, is called Mishra-sattva. But the transcendental variegatedness of Vishuddha-sattva is completely free from all mundane qualities. Vishuddha-sattva is therefore the proper atmosphere in which to experience the personality of Godhead and His transcendental pastimes. Spiritual variegatedness is eternally independent of all material conditions and is non-different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, both being absolute. Right, so him and his energies are non-different. So the three energies manifest. That's the perfect environment for Krishna to be perform his pastimes, right? The Lord and his devotees simultaneously perceive the Hladini potency directly by the power of the Samvit potency. Right? So it's by Samvit, then you're going to perceive Hladini. That's why bhakti is a mix of Samvit and Hladini. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So now that also we see there is that we're extending from the Samvit potency. So it's when we come in contact that we're under the shelter of the Samvit, then from that we can then render service to the Hladini. Does that make sense?
Maharaj, when you say Samvit is like cognizance.
Yes.
It's like consciousness.
Yes, consciousness. That you're conscious. And it's also the knowledge potency. Like when you're dealing in these same positions, and that will be the kriya. This is because you're conscious, therefore you do things.
Yes.
You know, activities are there. Because you exist, and the existence of others, and you can have that knowledge of that existence. Right? But then because you're conscious, therefore then you can apply it. Then only you can experience. So when the purpose is to please Krishna, right, then the Hladini is experienced. Footnote 30. The activities of bhakti are purely spiritual, though expressed through our senses and mind while we are embodied, because of the influence of the Lord's spiritual energy. This becomes perfect at the stage of prema, though already at the stage of bhava, samvit and hladini enter the mind of the devotee. Srila Rupa Goswami defines bhava as follows. Quote, that part of bhakti is called bhava, whose essence is samvit and hladini shakti, which is one ray of the sun of prema, which will soon rise in the heart, and which softens the heart with desires to meet, serve, and exchange love with the Lord. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, 131. Srila Jiva Goswami comments. In the verse, Shuddha Sattva refers to Samvit, which is a transformation of the Lord's Srup Shakti. Samvit means knowledge, whose intrinsic nature is that it is self-revealing. So there's a footnote 30 within footnote 30.
Yes.
Woohoo! That means 30, that's like 900 footnotes. Right. Yeah. Shuddha Sattva here does not indicate the mode of goodness, which is also called sattva, but which belongs to material nature. This Shuddha Sattva is described in the second part of the Bhagavad Sandarbha and in the second chapter of the Vaishnav Toshan. As well, the combination of Shuddha Sattva with the word Visesha. To form the word Shuddha Sattva Visesha, excellent part of Shuddha Sattva, refers to another transformation of the Srup Shakti called Hladini. This Shakti is described in the Vishnu Purana. The Hladini, Sandini, and Samvit Shaktis are one energy which resides in you, the shelter of all things. The mixture of happiness and distress found in the material world does not exist in you, who are beyond the gunas. Vishnu Purana 1.12.69. So it's one energy, the Srup Shakti, but it may have different manifestations. Right? So we discuss the difference here so that we can actually just be aware of it and understand how it's functioning. Otherwise, we have our own ideas what's going on. But in the spiritual world, they don't need to make the distinctions. Following from this statement, it should be understood that this Hladini is the greatest energy of the Lord and should be understood to be the very essence of all the combined, concentrated transformations of his Srup Shakti. Right? So you have all these combined, concentrated transformations, all the different, these aspects of these three, how they're combined, how they're this. So the Hladini then is the essence of all that. Right? Because that's the whole point of the others. Just like the Icha Shakti, that's the essence. right? Then the Kriya and Jnanas are then in support of that. They're different manifestations. So in the same way as the Sandini and Sambit, they're there to support Ladini. Does that make sense? Does it make sense?
It does. However, if we look from materialistic point of view, the progression goes Sandini, Sambit, then Ladini, because we need the basis of everything. But Krishna's desire, that's the basis, that's how it unfolds. But then we think from this end.
Yes, yes. Because also, we were discussing before, is this the modern philosophy, especially at least the Western, is based on that principle of relativity, that each one is dependent on the other. You know, so it's kind of like it comes down to, well, without this, without existence, then the others aren't there, so then that's the main one. Yeah, but if you can't do anything, even though it exists, then who cares? Like the couch potato, you know, so you want a whole room full of couch potatoes? You know, like that. But if out of that you're not getting any happiness, what's the point? You know, so they can just go on arguing and arguing. But the point is, because you have the absolute, and the absolute is the shelter, then the point is that all these are non-different from him, but it's because of the pleasure potency, which is the essence, that's why he expands. That's why there's the pastimes between him and his Ladini Shakti. And so then he's the shelter, and then that connection to his energies is then through, how you say? Then through his into that internal potency there as the Ladini, and then the other aspects, manifestations, are then transformations. Because we have to remember, Radharani is the Sarup Shakti. She's the total Shakti. But she takes the position of loving. Just like Krishna is the total positions of control in that, but he just takes the point of Icha. Balaram then takes the Kriya, and Vasudev takes Jnana. But it's all coming from him, but he just takes that. So in the same way as the other two, then are taken by other aspects, expansions of Radharani, and she just takes the Ladini. So Krishna and Icha and Radharani and Ladini to fulfill that Icha, then that's the highest position. The other two are subordinates. Because there isn't anything else other than Krishna, so he's his own support. So therefore, you have to have a place to do stuff. He expands as the place, he expands as the activities, as everything like that, and then interacts. Because otherwise, you know, how else will it work? So, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Furthermore, the power of the combination of Ladini and Sambit causes the most intense state of desiring to please the Lord. This intense desire resides within the Lord's eternal associates. But I think in some place Krishna Kaviraj Goswami explains that this is the Bhakti Shakti, that combination. Further, concentration of this concentrated, condensed Haladini will transform Bhava into the highest state of Mahabhava called Modana. This is the subject of Sri Ujjwala Nilamani. Right? Because there's three levels of Mahabhava. Right? Modana belongs to Radha's group and does not appear elsewhere. It means the other gopis, though they're on the platform of Mahabhav, they don't go beyond that first stage of Mahabhav. Right? So this Modana is Radha's group because they're functioning directly with Krishna. So it's how much of the potency they are. Right? That's how much they can bring pleasure to Krishna. So that means that's how, what level of happiness Krishna reaches, yes, and that reciprocation. So on their level, that can bring it to Mahabhava. It can't go beyond it because they don't have the capacity. Yes. Radharani being the Sarup Shakti, she's the total energy. So she's the perfect complement to Krishna. Every aspect of Krishna, she is. Therefore, the happiness that she can give, that no one else can. That's just the way it is. Right? And so then, in Radharani's group, then you'll have this aspect of Modana, then that it will be in that group. There won't be in other groups. Because unless it's connected to Radharani, it won't go further. Right? And Radharani being the complete energy, then she'll experience a level of Mahabhav that's beyond what her group has on her own. But the others are connected, that's what brings them to their platform. And the others aren't, right? They're on that platform because they are indirectly serving the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Because by creating the rivalry and all that, then it makes the Sambhog and the Vipralamba, it increases it. So they're rendering service. Does that make sense? So that's why I've all come to their platform. But it won't go beyond. Does that make sense? Modana belongs to Radha's group and does not appear elsewhere. It is the most glorious, pleasing, charming manifestation of the Hladini Shakti. Ujjwala Nilamani 14:176. Yes, so this will come up more as we go. Okay, then continuing then with Srila Prabhupada's purport. When not manifested, the modes of material nature are said to be in goodness. When they are externally manifested and active in producing the varieties of material existence, they are said to be in passion. And when there's a lack of activity and variegatedness, they are said to be in ignorance. In other words, the pensive mood is goodness, activity is passion, and inactivity is ignorance. Above all, these mundane qualitative manifestations is Vishuddhasattva. When it is predominated by the Sandini potency, it is perceived as the existence of all that being. When predominated by the Samvit potency, it is perceived as knowledge in transcendence. And when predominated by the Ladini potency, it is perceived as the most confidential love of Godhead. Right? So that's how you'll get that the living entities before the creation, right, after the manifestation of the Mahatattva, but before the Brahmananda, right, before Brahma's creation, then the living entities are all in Shuddhasattva.
Yes.
But we can see from here, then they're not in the platform of Ladini. It's only the Samvit, the influence of the Samvit. Therefore, they just have that kind of all knowledge. Oh, that what do you say here? Sunday, it perceives the existence of all that be, so they can appreciate the existence. So they're on like a transcendental platform there. But because it's not devotional, they haven't established their relationship with Krishna, it's temporary. As soon as Brahma makes the creation, boom, they're all inside. Yes?
This state, I'm not clear. Is it within the universe or outside the universe?
Remember, they've all gone out. Means all the universes and that, when Brahma's ends life, it all goes into, that's the third of the Niroga, the destructions.
Yeah.
So they're all inside Vishnu.
Right.
Then when he breathes out of the universes and glances, then all the living entities are also part of that. So then they're part of the Mahatattva.
Right.
Right? That's why it's called Sutra, because they all have that, they all have the desire to control and enjoy. Mm-hmm. But they're able to perceive the existence of all that be. They can just see everything.
Mm-hmm.
But that here's Vishnu, here's this, that, it doesn't mean anything to them because they have no affection for Vishnu, no inclination towards Vishnu.
Mm-hmm.
The other living entities, this, that, they just want to have that control and enjoy. So it's in that neutral state because there's nothing to control and enjoy. Right? So they're liberated. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Then the material creation happens. You know, Brahma creates, he expands everything. Now you have the universe, you have all the planets, you have all the different things manifest, and then the Prajapatis, then all the species of life. Now the living entities, now then they can take their place. Because they'll just go back to what is their karma. Because that the spool of impressions, right? That's within the heart of the living entity. That goes with them. Even they go to sleep for, you know, a lifetime of Brahma, basically. It's still there. And then when it comes out, then they just go back into wherever their position is. Does that make sense? But there's that time, because it was described how when they come out, they're all in the platform of Vishuddha Sattva. But it's not this Vishuddha Sattva that he's talking here based on Hladini. It's Vishuddha Sattva based on Sandini, without the other two. Or there might be a little bit of knowledge if there's some other aspect, but that's it. They'll have a touch. You know, Paramatma, okay. You know, Maha Vishnu is there. But it's not, without Hladini, it doesn't matter to them. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Without Hladini, there is no relationship.
No, because Hladini means then you want to please. Please means then your relationship. You know, in other words, it'll just be there. So I'm here, there's a pot. Mm-hmm. You know, but so what? Does that make sense? You know, out on the road, there's a tractor. You know, there's some dust falling off the wheels of the tractor because they've been, you know, plowing the sand over there. You know, it's just like, yeah, you know, so what? So that's the thing, is they have that. So that's as good as it gets. Right? So the living entity is always getting these three, the karma, jnana, and the nirvana. When they go into, they're just asleep for, you know, long. Then they come out and they're Vishuddha Sattva, right? So you get the impersonal. And then they go into the universe, that's the karma. And then they try to get themselves out, right? Yeah. So they just have to wait. Be patient. The Lord will breathe in, and look out. Vishuddha Sattva, the simultaneous manifestation of these three in one, is the main feature of the kingdom of God. Right? So it's the main feature because all three are together. Now in the material world, because it's pervading everything. The Sunday, the Hisrup Shakti is pervading everything. But the point is that it's only manifest in its natural form in the spiritual world. Here you see it's just certain aspects of it and reflections of that, because they're not. Even though they're in that platform, they're not actually transcendental. Because they're still within Mahatattva. Each of the three divisions of the internal potency, the Sandini, Samvit, and Hladini energies, influences one of the external potencies by which the conditioned souls are conducted. Such influence manifests the three qualitative modes of material nature, proving definitely that the living entities, the marginal potency, are eternally servitors of the Lord, and are therefore controlled by either the internal or the external potency. Mm-hmm. Right? So this internal potency, it transforms, it becomes the external. Mm-hmm. So the Samvit, Sandini, Hladini become goodness, passion, and ignorance. Mm-hmm. And so they're always controlled by this. So since they are then, they are of the transcendental nature, the spiritual nature, and then the transformation of the internal potency is what's covering them in the material. It's not the natural position. So what does that mean? What manifestation of the three different features is natural for the living entity? Right? Mm-hmm. Means the internal. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Because that's the spiritual platform. It's manifest, and the living entity is spiritual. Mm-hmm. But in the material world, then they're covered by the transformation of those. Mm-hmm. So that means the origin of that, that's the natural position. Does that make sense? Yeah. Then 63. O Lord, you are the support of everything. The three attributes, Hladini, Sandini, and Samvit, exist in you as one energy. But the material modes, which cause happiness, misery, and mixtures of the two, do not exist in you, for you have no material qualities. So that's your happiness, misery, and the mix of the two. These are your options.
So if the Nirguna means that there is a material aspect, but there is no quality.
The Nirguna means he's Nirguna means there's no material qualities. But he's still in control of material nature. That's the thing. He's controlled, but uncontrolled by it. But we are trying to control, but that trying to control is how we are controlled. Right? It's just like this. If you try to control the horse, right? You're controlled by the horse because you have to do everything according to how the horse wants it done. Right? You know, have to brush them, you have to feed them, the stable and all that. You can't make it, you can't put a horse in an elephant stable or in a goat stable. They have to go in a horse stable. So you're controlled by the horse. So anything we deal with, we become controlled by it. That's the uniqueness of Krishna. He controls it and is not controlled by it. Right? Because his energies take care. He only deals with his internal potency. The internal potency transforms into these others. So he's not dealing with it, but he's in control of it.
So in that way, it makes sense that for the Brahmavadi, they say that there is no quality. That is in the meaning that there is a material platform.
Yes, material platform. Because they don't know beyond the material platform. They know there must be something beyond, but they have no real understanding of what that is. So they just take it that it's the opposite of this. You know, it's just like, if here... Then you have a social situation that's very confining, then we'll say, and we're not happy, so we'll say happiness means a social condition in which you can do anything you want. You know, but then when we do everything we want, we're still not happy. So that's the thing, is they don't actually understand what's the actual thing. No, it's one in which you can do, within the context of what's appropriate, you can choose and do what you want. So they say, so if control is giving me misery, then no control, then that would be happiness. No, it's the proper control in the proper situation and the proper freedoms, the balance, that's what is there. So they have no idea. Right? You know, it's just like anybody else. It's just the opposite. If it's outside is so hot, right? You know, super hot day and all that, then what's the perfection?
AC.
Right? But what aspect of AC? Not just AC. It has to be AC on full blast and like that, you know, and you're in a chair right in front of it. In fact, better is you have a bathtub full of ice cubes and you're in that with the AC blowing.
Some drink then.
Yeah, and some drink. Yes, thank you. That's good. With a straw. Yes. You understand? So we always have that idea. It's just whatever, the more extreme it is, one, the more we take the extreme the other way. That's the whole problem. We just take it. And then if you're in that, it's how long? I've got the AC on 16, right? Full blast, right there. I'm in my bathtub with all the ice cubes, and I got my drink that's just crushed ice with some flavor in between and a straw. How long could I stay in that situation? Of course. Right? How long can you stay in there? Even if it was 50 degrees outside, you walk inside, how long could you sit in that bathtub? Huh? Till the ice melts. I'm impressed. I don't think anybody make it that more than a few minutes. But.
Indians can. They always have it on 16 full blast for the whole day.
Yeah, but they're not in an ice bath. Yeah. You know, it's just like the guy's been in the sauna. It's at least 100 degrees, right? Water boils at 100 degrees, right? And your body is made of 90% water. We'll let you do the math here. So then they go outside, and then, you know, the river's frozen. Or the lake is frozen. They've cut a hole in the ice. They have a chain there, and they jump inside, and then how long do they stay inside?
One moment.
You know, and then they come out. They just go in and then come out. They don't stay there. You know, otherwise everyone get the snorkel kind of thing or like that, and just sit underneath there for a while and like that.
It's not in that part of the world.
Hmm?
It's a different part of the world.
Yes.
One time we went to Devpraya. So generally we have a habit to take 3 dips in Ganga. So we went and took 2 dips. After that it was intolerable. Because everything was
cool. Yeah, no, you just do this. Because you want to do 3, but you can only do 2, then you'll feel bad. Just next time go there with the determination that you're going to take 1 dip nicely. You know? And then you just dip in, come out, and then hari bol. You know. We make the thing 3 dips. Why not 3? Why not 108? Yes, it's just one dip. It's not that there's this. You know, here at the Ganga, it's nice and pleasant. Then do three dips. Be happy. Yeah, it's just so cold. Yeah. Was the guy in the cave right there where you take the bath? Means where you take the bath, right down to the corner. You come up, there's a little cave there, little dinky cave. Was the Baba in the cave?
No.
No, he wasn't there?
No, we went to a place where Vyasdeva had written the Mahabharata, Vyasa Gupta.
Oh, that's a different place.
No, it's Padriya. From Deobag, it is about 10 kilometers.
Oh, you went up more. Oh, okay. Okay, more cold. Yeah, the boys just went up to Gangotri, like that. Yeah. They took bath there, and they came out and sat on the rock and the ice, and you know.
For a second.
Yeah, of course. Long enough for the picture.
The guy was taking the picture.
It
took him too long.
Yeah, they all went on. Yeah, you know, it's one thing, you have to do that, right? You know, so okay. Text 31. Footnote 31. This text is from the Vishnu Purana 1.12.69. The essential portion of the Sandini potency is Shuddha Sattva. Lord Krishna's existence rests upon it. Krishna's mother, father, abode, house, bedding, seats, and so on are all transformations of Shuddha Sattva. Srila Prabhupada. Lord Krishna's father, mother, and household affairs are all displayed in the same Vishuddha Sattva existence. A living entity situated in the status of pure goodness can understand the form, qualities, and other features of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna consciousness begins on the platform of pure goodness, right? Because that's when it really makes sense. And the mixed modes are there. You can tell the difference. You can tell it's better. There's a better experience. You can advance. But when it really starts to be clear is when there's pure goodness. Right? So that means pure devotional service. That's when it becomes the most clear, when that commitment is there. Yes.
Does it mean that they're not jiva tattva, not coming from that tattva?
Here, father, mother, household affairs, no. They're internal potency. Like that. Then there's the jivas. That's why they're always there. We're the ones that you know, we can take part or not, because it's already going on. Like that. So. The condition of pure goodness, yes, so many of that, like it's like all the, like it says, the household affairs, same Shuddha Sattva, like that, all the cows, the trees, like that. They're not, generally speaking, they wouldn't be jivas. They would be internal potency. But as Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions in the Dasamula, I think it's Tattva or Niryas, that the expansion of the internal potency, of the conjugal rasa, that's coming from Vladini. And then from Samvit is coming the parental friendship and servitorship. And from Sandini is coming the Shanta. Like that. So that's what's controlling. But the jiva could situate themselves in any of the places. You know, like Bhutana. She became a mother. So then she would have been an elder gopi then who is assisting in Mother Jashoda. So she's a jiva. So you can be in any of the positions. But the pastimes are going to go on, you know, whether we're taking part or not. It's not that everybody's sitting around and twiddling their thumbs and whistling and waiting for us to get back. You know, when you get finally.
Now we can do
that. Yeah, we thought you were never going to give up those attachments. But, yeah. So. 66. The condition of pure goodness, Shuddha Sattva, in which the Supreme Personality of Godhead is revealed without any covering, is called Vasudeva. In that pure state, the Supreme Godhead, who is beyond the material senses and is known as Vasudeva, is perceived by my mind. Srila Prabhupada. This text, or Srimad Bhagavatam 4.3.23, spoken by Lord Shiva when he condemned Daksha, the father of Sati, as an opponent of Vishnu, confirms beyond a doubt that Lord Krishna, his name, his fame, his qualities, and everything in connection with his paraphernalia, exist in the Sandini Shakti of the Lord's internal potency. So everything is all, because it's existing. Sandini is the existence potency. So it's all existing there, because it all has existence. Right? Like that. The essence, 67. The essence of the Samvit potency is knowledge that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is Lord Krishna. All other kinds of knowledge, such as knowledge of Brahman, are its components. Right? So that's what we're saying. They don't have a complete understanding. They might have just a little bit. So just the general living entities won't have any knowledge about Lord Krishna or the Personality of Godhead or even Brahman. Right? Because if they were karmis, that's not really their thing. You know, there might be a touch just that much. But if they're, let's say, they were impersonalist, then they'll have that little bit more. But it's still just a component. It's just an aspect. It's not the complete. It's not that you actually have full knowledge. What's the purpose of us? To increase things, to add things.
Why do we have this freedom of choice to go to the...
Because then you're doing it because you want... because you've made that choice that you want to. So that adds a special taste.
Servants of Krishna who belong to eternal potency, they don't have this desire of this choice.
They aren't interested in external energy since it's a transformation of them. It's like this. You have the internal potency, then you have a shadow. Right? So, now the point is why would they be interested in functioning in the shadow? You know what I'm saying? We're not... In other words, they're not mom sent, right? You know. Yeah. So, they're just like yourself. You're walking around in the field, and your shadow's there. Do you want to like go into the shadow and stuff like that? You're just happy to be there and see and do and all that as yourself. What's the shadow? You know? But where the foot hits the ground, that's where we are. So we can either choose to work with the person or try to have some fun with the shadow. So we're just there to add.
It means that our existence is... when we have this freedom of choice, our existence is not perfect. And why Krishna created so imperfect energy as Jesus?
But the point is... Do the living entities appreciate not having a choice? Do living entities like having a choice? Yeah, so then why would the question come up? You understand? The question generally comes up to shift blame. Krishna made us this way, that's why we're doing it, so what can be done, so I'll just continue like this and no one should complain. That's generally the underlying, but generally when you bring this up, they become angry anyway, so it's no use. People don't actually like somebody pointing out why they're doing something, you know, if it's wrong. You understand? It just adds to what's already there. It's already perfect, but you can add more. Just like you have, let's say you have a nice preparation. It's a perfect preparation. But now I can put it on a nice plate. But it doesn't taste any better, but it just adds to the environment. It's not that the plate now makes the preparation better. You know, it didn't have enough salt, but I put it on a nice looking plate, and now it does have a nice enough salt. You know what I'm saying? So then you have a nice plate, and then you can have the napkin, you can have this, that, you can just add things on. So that's us. So you can add to the atmosphere and make it more and more nice. So that's not nice. People don't do that. Yeah, but you wanted to come, you wanted to function outside Krishna, you were looking at the shadow, and so he says, okay, go for it. It's like this. The twilight. Right? If you have day and you have night, you're going to have twilight, right? It's not that it's just full bright sunlight and then bang, it's like pitch black. That would be weird, right? So it's light and it just gradually gets dark until it's dark. Right? So that's Sunday, that's us. So now, is it day or is it night? It's just the way you look at it. So we have that choice. So it's based on affection. It just adds to the affection. We're so small, but it adds to it that we want to be there, then it makes it nice. You have to remember, the internal potency is not so small. Right? The Sarup Shakti is, you know, as unlimited as Krishna. So, and we're 1/10,000 the tip of the hair. So. No? Srila Prabhupada, the activities of the Samvit Shakti produce the effect of cognition. Both the Lord and the living entities are cognizant. Sri Krishna, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, has full knowledge of everything, everywhere. And therefore, there are no hindrances to his cognition. He can have knowledge merely by glancing over an object, whereas innumerable impediments block the cognition of ordinary living beings. The cognition of the living beings has three divisions: direct knowledge, indirect knowledge, and perverted knowledge. Sense perception of material objects by the mundane senses, such as the eye, ear, nose, and hand, always produce definitely perverted knowledge. This illusion is a presentation of the material energy, which is influenced by the Samvit Shakti in a perverted manner. Negative cognition of an object beyond the reach of sense perception is the way of indirect knowledge, which is not altogether imperfect, but which produces only fragmentary knowledge of the form of impersonal spiritual realization and monism. But when the Samvit factor of cognition is enlightened by the Ladini potency of the same internal energy, they work together, and only thus one can attain knowledge of the Personality of Godhead. Because otherwise, how would you know Krishna unless he wants to reveal himself? Why would he reveal himself? It's only because of the Ladini potency. So when the Ladini potency and the Samvit are working together, or we're using our consciousness on Krishna, then when it's imbued with that Ladini, that combination, then Krishna is pleased, he reveals himself. Does this make sense?
This is Jiva Bhakti Bhagwan.
Yes. That, yeah, because we are cognizant because we're coming from that place, but we're in a perverted state, so we want to bring it back. But it still is only when there's, but Krishna's in touch with his internal potency. So the only point is how to get that connect. So Ladini and Samvit, they can contact, we're connecting with Samvit, that combination, now we can then therefore realize Krishna. Because Krishna reveals himself. Does that make sense? That's why we're always, again, the servant of the servant. Right? Because we're not Ladini Shakti. Right? Yes.
The Mahajanis, are they the internal potency or Nitya Siddhi?
That depends on who they are. But generally speaking, most are jivas. But it's not that they couldn't be internal potency. Like the six Goswamis, they're jivas. But like Swarup Damodar and Ramananda Rai, they're internal potency. So it's that in the spiritual world, you don't need to make the distinction. We only make the distinction because otherwise we don't make distinction. We think we're non-different than matter. So we have to point out we're different from matter, we're the soul. And just as we're different there and we're eternal in that, then and the material nature is temporary, then the living entity is looking for eternal happiness. So then there must be that concept and how to get to that place. So use these mechanics just to get yourself there, but once one's there, nobody makes a distinction. They don't make distinction between who's primarily Hladini, Sandini, Sambit, like this, because the point is it's all pervaded by, because of the devotion, it's all pervaded by Hladini. Right? The three all work together. There may be a prominence, but they all work together. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Maharaj Prabhupada explained perverted knowledge here, but I cannot understand direct knowledge and indirect knowledge. Cognition is three aspects.
Perverted means what your sensual knowledge, right? Then through the intellect, I'm trying to understand what's beyond the sensual knowledge, that's indirect knowledge. So that's the understanding of the impersonal platform. You're understanding Brahman, right, or Paramatma. That there's a little bit of knowledge, but it's indirect, but it's not complete. So direct knowledge means then under the protection of the internal potency, then Krishna reveals himself, and then you have direct knowledge of the spiritual world. That means on the spiritual platform, in the spiritual world, there they have that full knowledge. Like that. So through devotion, you can develop that. Right? But otherwise here, as they deal with the perverted and indirect, right? Perverted will be karma, and indirect will be jnana. But it won't be complete. Only when it's connected with ladini, or bhakti, then it's going to take on real knowledge. So that's the real reality.
Mm-hmm. Don't call this three as pratyaksha, anumana, and sadhana.
I mean, in a different context, yes. Yes, like that. But it's that same principle. But it's just that then you're applying it to that authority, because through the scriptures, that's how we are knowing the spiritual world. Okay. So... Yes.
This is the same that Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentioned, that is aparoksha, doksha, and aparki.
Yeah, basically. Basically. Like that. Though, if one's devotional, then they have a much deeper, you're actually dealing with the reality of the whole aspect. But it's being revealed more and more. But for the others, the maximum they can get up to is that aparoksha. Because they're starting with sensual knowledge, then it's knowledge they've heard from others and that which they speculate on, like that. And then they get to the aparoksha, that there's kind of an experience of it, and that experience is nice because you're contacting Brahman, but then they think they're God from that. You know, and say other materialists, they contact that, they think that, you know, they're very powerful, or they think they're in love, or, you know, something, right? You know, like that. Because it's the same thing. Anything that catches your attention where you forget everything else and just focus on that, then you're contacting that eternal platform. You know? Like you go out in that forest and that just for that moment, just forget everything and just experience that. Why that experience is there, that's Brahman. Because Brahman is what's pervading. And you somehow or another, surrender to that situation and you're appreciating. So you get that experience. And so when you think back in life, those moments, you know, you say there's a moment, you can remember moments because those are the moments you contact, you know, Brahman to that degree within the context of whatever it is you're, because everything's coming out of Brahman, so that means everything has its basis in Brahman. So when you're experiencing the essence of that thing, you're experiencing the Brahman. Does that make sense? So the karmis, that's what they're going for. The jnanis, that's what they're going for. But the problem is it's only that platform. It's that you're touching that aspect of Sunday, you know, so that existence of things. But the point is you're not really getting. You don't have the knowledge, and you don't actually have the real happiness. Does that make sense? Okay. Yeah. So devotees, when they deal with this, that's just the platform they function on. But it's about the person. You understand? So that's why there's that overlap. The aparoksha is the platform between the two. So that's how the jnanis, if they come in contact with the devotees, they can switch over to the other one. Because they're already on that platform of aparoksha. Then by the association devotees, they can switch over, that now it's the basis of what there is, and the goal is now Krishna. Does that make sense? Because otherwise that was their goal, to get to that aparoksha platform. So yeah, we're all good with this stuff, or yeah. But does it make sense now? I mean, because we've been discussing this since Bhagavad Gita.
Well, just this terminology came last year, so we have to get used to it.
Oh, okay.
But the principle...
Yeah, it's the same principle. Second canto is all about that. That aspect, the whole creation and everything, that's what's going on. The Visharup, that's what's happening. Because that Visharup, that's the Adhokshita. How he descends into everything, and then you can experience that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But people experience, they don't have the knowledge of how the Lord has descended into it. So that's why they're on the other side. Means, in other words, the Adhokshita and Aprakrita is out of the realm of the materialist actually understanding. Because they can only experience. Because they're living on the platform of the material world, which is basis is Brahman. That's all the more they can know. It might be a touch of something in Paramatma, but you see how far the yogis take that. So they don't really know Paramatma. You know, it's like we know that there's a prime minister. You know, that's it. You know. Okay. Right, so here it means he said negative. So you're dealing in a so-called positive, but it's perverted. So the positive is perverted, that's the sensual. Then you deal with it from the negative through inference. Then that's the attempt at understanding this transcendental nature. Then there's the actual perception of the reality that's unperverted. Does that make sense? That's the direct. Right? Negative cognition of an object beyond the reach of sense perception is the way of indirect knowledge, which is not altogether imperfect, but which produces only fragmentary knowledge in the form of impersonal spiritual realization and monism. But when the samvit factor of cognition is enlightened by hladini potency of the same internal nature, energy, they work together, and only thus can one attain the knowledge of the personality of Godhead. Right? So only through bhakti can you know. The samvit shakti should be maintained in that state. Right? So that's how you see. So if you try to use the knowledge outside of that, then it's just, you're just functioning in perverted knowledge. So that's the problem. If someone thinks I'm working in knowledge, I can work in the spiritual also. No. Because it's two different aspects. One's perverted and one's reality. But you can only work in reality through the internal potency, through bhakti. So that's it. Material knowledge and indirect spiritual knowledge are byproducts of the samvit shakti. Right? So they're just coming down. That's the byproducts. That makes sense. You know, the transformation, like Rama Devi transforms, then you have the external potency. Yeah. 68. The essence of the Hladini potency is love of God. The essence of love of God is emotion, bhava, and the ultimate development of emotion is mahabhava. Srila Prabhupada. The product of the Hladini Shakti is love of Godhead, which has two divisions, namely pure love of Godhead and adulterated love of Godhead. Only when the Hladini Shakti emanates from Sri Krishna and is bestowed upon the living being to attract him does the living being become a pure lover of God. But when the same Hladini Shakti is adulterated by the external material energy and emanates from the living being, it does not attract Krishna. On the contrary, the living being becomes attracted by the glamour of the material energy. At that time, instead of becoming mad with love of Godhead, the living entity becomes mad after material sense enjoyment. Because of association with the qualitative modes of material nature, he is captivated by its interactions of distressful, unhappy feelings. Mm-hmm. Right, so not just distressful, but it has to be distressful, unhappy feelings. Yes. Not distressful feelings, unhappy feelings, just stressful, unhappy feelings. That, you know, that's what you mean. But so does that make sense? So that the knowledge how that gets perverted, and so the Hladini also, it gets perverted, and instead of being that attracted to Krishna, we're attracted to Maya. Right? And so then we look for that affection, what it means, because the essence of Hladini is love of God. So we're, it's being perverted, so it's being used in the opposite direction. We're trying to enjoy the material energy. Does that make sense? So just as the knowledge becomes perverted. The existence becomes perverted, the knowledge becomes perverted, and the attraction or affection becomes perverted. And so then that makes up how the material world works. So it's still based on the same potency.
In any case, the desire is always affective.
Is always?
Yes, always an affection.
He always has, because he's a living being. Because he has Sat, Chit, and Ananda. It's just a matter, is it in its pure state? Is it in its, you know, perverted state? Or is it in that, you know, kind of indirect kind of state? Mm. It's just a matter of just where they're situating themselves. Mm. So by association with pure devotees, then one gravitates towards the pure devotion, towards the proper manifestation of these three qualities. Right? If he has, and if he has bad association, it could either be as sense enjoyers or as these, you know, mental speculators. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's why association is so important. Okay. So this is the next verse. Sri Radha Thakurani is the embodiment of Mahabhava. She is the repository of all good qualities and the crest jewel among all the lovely consorts of Lord Krishna. Quote, of these two gopis, Radharani and Chandravali, Srimati Radharani is superior in all respects. She is the embodiment of Mahabhava, and she surpasses all in good qualities. Footnote 32. This is a quotation from Srila Rupa Goswami's Ujjvala Nilamani. Radha Prakarana 3. So yes. And so her mind, senses, and body are steeped in love for Krishna. She is Krishna's own energy, and she helps him in his pastimes. Srila Prabhupada. Srimati Radharani is as fully spiritual as Krishna. No one should consider her to be material. She is definitely not like the conditioned souls who have material bodies, gross and subtle, covered by material senses. She is all spiritual, and both her body and her mind are of the same spiritual embodiment. Because her body is spiritual, her senses are also spiritual. Thus her body, mind, and senses fully shine in love of Krishna. She is the personified Hladini Shakti, the pleasure-giving energy of the Lord's internal potency. And therefore, she is the only source of enjoyment for Sri Krishna. But, so it's not that she's the main source, or she's the primary source, she's the only source. So everybody else is connected to her, and that's how then the whole pastimes works. Right? Because Radha and Krishna, as Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami is saying, Krishna is one, then he becomes two. Right? Because he and his energy are non-different, but they become two to experience that interaction. So then, for that environment, for them to have their perfect pastimes, then they're both expanding and then creating the environments, you know, of what is there. Of all the devotees, the situations, the activities, the different pastimes, all these different things. Does that make sense? So, it's all in support of. And it's also perfect that it's there and then they're all adding. So if we're just thinking, oh, we're just adding. But it's that everybody's just adding. You know? Yeah. Yes. Yes. Because, as we mentioned before, that... Yeah. Okay, now I see why it's done. I was just thinking of it, because here we see is that, quoting from Rupa Goswami, he says, of these two, Srimati Radharani is superior. He didn't mention who the two are. Yeah. It's that you know, and you don't have to say. And then Prabhupada put in here, Radharani and Chandravali, so that it's known. Right? Because before... Earlier today, I explained all this. Does that make sense? When I said, "Go, Radharani's there, there's other groups. You know, and they're there to support. Right? That's who we're talking about. does that make sense? Yeah. So it's just sometimes it's brought out so that we're very clear. Like that. Because the others are headed by Chandravali. Like that. And so then she takes care of that. By there, then you have, then see as if it's the parakeya where Radha and Krishna can always be together. Like what was it you said yesterday? Or Swapni. Something? Swapni. Nitya. Nitya Nivrit. Nivrita Kunja. Means that the Nimbarkas and I think the Vallabhas like that, then they're always together. And so even though it has that aspect of parakeya because they're not married, but they can always be together. So it won't have quite the same flavor of parakeya as when they can't always be together. So the pastimes keep them apart. Then you have the thing of other gopis there that Krishna could be with and all these things. So because of that, then it brings this parakeya up to its brilliance. That's the whole point. So that's her service. Okay. So, yeah. Krishna cannot enjoy anything that is internally different from him. Therefore, Radha and Sri Krishna are identical. The Sandini portion of Sri Krishna's internal potency has manifested the all-attractive form of Sri Krishna. And the same internal potency in the Ladini feature has presented Srimati Radharani, who is the attraction for the all-attractive. No one can match Srimati Radharani in the transcendental pastimes of Sri Krishna. Right? So then that's where you get the masculine and feminine principle. Then the Hladini and the Sandini are going to come together through the Sandini, Sambit. Right? And we as Jivas, we can assist that in that. You know what I'm saying? Like that. As instrumental. Then, text 72.
You can say that Krishna, is associated with all the living entities, they are always attracted by something.
Yes, yes. Because the jivas, that means one, Krishna is all attractive. Yes. So that means everything's connected to him. And his qualities are such that any of his expansions are attracted to him. Even his own Vishnu expansions are attracted to him. At the same time as being Shakti, then we are dependent. So then we have to be attracted to that source, the Shakti Man, the source of energy. But we're going to be attracted to that source of energy through the greater energies, because we're connected to that. Does that make sense? We're connected there. That's then how we are connected through. So we're a dependent energy on the greater energy that is dependent on Krishna.
Yes. Yes.
And so that attraction is always there. You know, like that. Because everything is Krishna, so he's pervading everything.
Yes.
So therefore, he being attractive, then everything is attractive.
Yes.
So even things here in this world that we're attracted to, it's because Krishna is Krishna. That's why it's attractive. But at the same time as his expansions through his energies in that, he as a person is different from that. So we can't say, oh, it's Krishna like the Hindus, and then, oh, we can worship anything. Like that. But there's a difference. Krishna is a person. This is his energy. Okay, the Ladini feature has presented Srimati Radharani, who is the attraction for the all-attractive. Right, so Krishna is the all-attractive, but she's the attraction for that all-attractive. Right, so that's why we're saying that the perversion of that, you know, the fraction of that transformation, because it's not that the whole nature has to transform, only a fraction of it needs to transform. And so then that's what gives all the attraction to everything in the world. No one can match Srimati Radharani in the transcendental pastimes of Sri Krishna. Right? No one can match like that. So everybody else is the system. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who resides in his own realm, Goloka, with Radha, who resembles his own spiritual figure, and who embodies the ecstatic potency, Ladini. Their companions are her confidants, who embody extensions of her bodily form, and who are imbued and permeated with ever blissful spiritual rasa. Footnote 33. This text is from Brahma Samhita 5:37. Now please listen to how Lord Krishna's consorts help him taste rasa, and how they help in his pastimes. The beloved consorts of Lord Krishna are of three kinds: the goddesses of fortune, the queens, and the milkmaids of Braja, who are the foremost of all. These consorts all proceed from Radhika. Just as the fountainhead, Lord Krishna, is the cause of all incarnations, so Sri Radha is the cause of all these consorts. Right? The goddesses of fortune are partial manifestations of Srimati Radhika, and the queens are reflections of her image. Right? So that's why it's said that since they're all expanding from her, that's why we were saying in, I think it was in, was it? In the, was it the beginning of Nectar of Devotion? Then, it was just this year we were going through it. Maybe it was last year, but the expansions means Rukmini is expansion of Radharani, right? Because that's how it works. And then expanding, you know, further, then you have the Lakshmis and Vaikuntha. So that's what you're dealing with. Now we'll say, no, but that's Chandravali and she's Satyavan, but that's in the moon. But it's still her, just like Balaram is Krishna. But then there's a mood difference. You know, so then you see what's there. But in principle, they're all expanding. All the Lakshmis are all expanding from Radharani, all the different forms. That's what it says. It says, the beloved consorts of Krishna are three kinds: the goddesses of fortune, the queens, and the milkmaids of Braja, who are the foremost of all. These consorts all proceed from Radhika. Just as the fountainhead, Lord Krishna is the cause of all incarnations, so Sri Radha is the cause of all these consorts. The goddesses of fortune are partial manifestations of Srimati Radhika, just as the incarnations are partial. Right, they're complete potency, but the mood is partial. Okay. And the queens are reflections of her image. The goddesses of fortune are her plenary portions, and they display the forms of Vaibhav Vilas. Right, some mood is there. The queens are of the nature of her Vaibhav Prakash. The Braja Devis have diverse bodily features. They are her expansions, are the instruments for expanding rasa. Without many consorts, there is not much exaltation in rasa. Therefore, there are many manifestations of Srimati Radharani to assist in the Lord's pastime. Among them are various groups of consorts and braja who have varieties of sentiments and mellows. They help Lord Krishna taste all the sweetness of the rasa dance and other pastimes. Because then, all of these things together, one, it expands the whole thing, but it also brings out how Radharani is the best. Right? Does that make sense? Srila Prabhupada. As already explained, Radha and Krishna are one in two. They are identical. Krishna expands himself in multi-incarnations and plenary portions like the Purushas. Similarly, Srimati Radharani expands herself in multi-forms as the goddesses of fortune, the queens, and the damsels of Braja. Such expansions from Srimati Radharani are her plenary portions. All these womanly forms of Krishna are expansions corresponding to his plenary expansions of Vishnu forms. So, whatever is the mood or the potency or whatever is the particular class of incarnation or expansion of Krishna, Radharani expands in that perfect, compatible form. Like that. There's no difference between the original form and the reflected forms. The female reflections of Krishna's pleasure potency are as good as Krishna himself. So, they're same as Krishna. Just as he and his energies are non-different, as he expands, she expands, they're still non-different. They still have that same transcendental position. They're still non-different. But only in Braj are you not seeing so much the difference. Because then we see when we go into outside that, then they get, it's got to be one or the other. Like with the Shris, then Lakshmi, she's either non-different from Krishna, that's one group, and the other is she's Jiva, she's a servant, and she's not at all in the same kind of consideration. And so you have two groups, Watagalai, Tengalai, and basically they won't speak to each other, deal with each other, marry into each other, go to each other's parties, nothing. Like that. So they can't work with both of those things. It's one or the other.
That's the difference.
They
live in the same place?
Huh?
They live in the same place?
Generally, they'll have kind of different areas and all that, but then how their rituals, their customs are all different. They're all based on the basic same thing, but there's a little bit of difference. There's something to make it different. And so then, yeah, they don't really do anything together. You know, but they're all pleasant and nice, you know, but they're just different. Sorry? Madhvacharya says she's Jiva Tattva. But the whole point is that Shankarshan is also known as Jiva. And Tattva just means the particular classification. So Jiva means servant, or Jiva means the living entities. Because all the living entities are extending from her, she can be called Jiva. Just as Sankarshan, because it's his potencies from his samvit potency, the Jivas expand, therefore they're non-different from him, he can be called Jiva. So in the same way is that the Sroop Shakti, then it's her portion that's samvit that the Jivas expanded from, so she can also be called Jiva. Because they were saying the Lord and his energy are non-different, so just as he's called Jiva, she can be called Jiva. So like that. Okay. The plenary expansions of Krishna's personality are called Vaibhav Vilash and Vaibhav Prakash. And Radha's expansions are similarly described. The goddesses of fortune are her Vaibhav Vilas forms, and the queens are her Vaibhav Prakash forms. Does anybody remember the difference on these?
Yeah, Prakash means it's the same form. And okay. Vilas is a different form.
It's a different form, okay.
Like Bala, Krishna and Bala.
Okay. Okay.
And Prakash is when Krishna is dancing with the balas.
Okay. Okay, so Balarama will be the Vilas. But vaibhav vilas. Okay, so that's why then all the swamsas and all those, they call them vilas. Okay. And then the vaibhav, the prakash means the same in the same. So the queens at Dwarka are just the gopis in Dwarka. That's all. Yeah. And then they take on that different flavor and everything like that. Does that make sense? Because there's some aspect, isn't it? Is it one of the plays of that? Or then they bring that out, just moves one is in the other. No,
I'm not sure.
We haven't gotten to that. So I kind of remember there's one place where that's explained. Unless that was in Lagu Bhagavatam Rita or something. I kind of remember we discussed it.
Yeah, Lagu Bhagavatam Rita explains it all, you know, very deep. Mm-hmm. That was
it. Yeah, yeah. It's kind of like only when we get to this point, then all those books make sense. Yeah. The personal associates of Radharani, the damsels of Braja, are direct expansions of her bodies. As expansions of her personal form and transcendental disposition, they're agents of different reciprocations of love in the pastimes of Krishna, Lord Krishna, under the supreme direction of Srimati Radharani. They are agents of different reciprocations. So they all have different aspects that they're bringing out the flavor in a particular situation. Does that make sense? So in a different particular pastime or particular situation, one of the gopis or a particular combination, that will become prominent and bring out that flavor. Something else, there'll be some other gopis. Right? Because they're all expansions of her body, meaning of all her different moods and qualities, they all are expansions of that and have particular combinations of those moods and qualities that particularly come out in certain situations. Does that make sense? Yeah. But then the queens, then you see their expansions are the same, and then performing their pastimes, it's extended. Right? And then the Lakshmis, then they're a different form. It's all like a drama. Yeah, that's why the word pastime is used. It's not that Krishna has to do this to you know, get fed or something. You know? Like that. You know, he's getting too fat, so Mother Jashoda tells him he's got to, you know, have a maharas, you know, to burn off a little bit of fat and that, and then show, because otherwise she's not going to put so much ghee on his chapatis. You know what I'm saying? That's why it's a drama. That's also the reason they give the example of dressing up like a dramatic actor. Because that's the whole thing. It's all these attitudes and that expressions and stuff like that. So you don't in adults you don't see it as much because they're focused so much on their occupation. But like you'll see in teens and adolescents, they have nothing to do, right? Because they're living with their parents, right? And so then in that position, then they can take on these things and cut their profiles and dress how they like and, you know, stand around and do stupid stuff. And, you know, it just adds to the flavor. Right? Does that make sense? But with Krishna, you know, so that's the perversion of it. You know, so Krishna, you know, he's staying at home. He does his service, but that's only because then he can go out of Vrindavan. Because if he's in Vrindavan, then it's very formal. But if he goes out, now he can meet Srimati Radharani, he can take care of the cowherd boys, you know, so many things get taken care of. In the transcendental realm, enjoyment is fully relished in variety. The exuberance of transcendental mellows is increased by the association of a large number of personalities similar to Radharani, who are also known as gopis or sakis. The variety of innumerable mistresses is a source of relish for Sri Krishna, and therefore these expansions from Srimati Radharani are necessary for enhancing the pleasure potency of Sri Krishna. Their transcendental exchanges of love are the super excellent affairs of the pastimes in Vrindavan. By these expansions of Srimati Radharani's personal body, she helps Lord Krishna taste the rasa dance and other similar activities. Srimati Radharani, being the central petal of the rasa lila flower, is also known by the names found in the following verses. So we'll hear those. Deity's putting on red. Yeah, definitely you see that. So then you know they're taking care nicely. Okay. But yeah, you do have one. So. Yeah. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premananda ki.